Welcome to Student Voices. I'm Chandra Tharp, the teacher here at KEOM. As all of our students are safe at home for the time being, we decided to make a series of episodes to discuss the COVID-19 pandemic and how our students are coping with the changes it is making in their lives. We are recording this from each of our own houses, so the audio quality isn't up to our normal standards. And while none of us claim to be professionals or to be giving any kind of medical advice, our hope is that this may help our listeners get a perspective on how this is affecting our children and students. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the concerns the students have about the virus and maybe some rumors that they've heard that they want to be clarified. The KEOM students joining us today are Addie Everson and Jonah Hammett from Horn High School and Davey Padilla from Mesquite High School. I've also asked the North Mesquite High School Intervention Counselor, Jennifer Smith, to join in our discussion today. Thank you for taking the time to be with us, Jennifer.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to just start off with Davey. Why don't you just tell us what your biggest concern regarding the COVID-19 virus is?
Well, my biggest concern isn't school, to be exact. It's really medical professionals that are dying. I was scrolling on my phone, like always, and I saw a post several weeks ago. And it said, today, the first nurse died in Italy from COVID-19. She died fighting the battle to the end. And after I read it, I felt weird since I want to be in the medical field later on after high school. It made me think as I wanted to change my decision. So my biggest concern is all of this, to be honest. The situation may change my way of thinking and change my decision of being in the future. And some days ago, several doctors from Georgia who traveled to New York to help out in the crisis that is happening over there, they all have families. Overnight, I was thinking, and saving lives is important, and it's worth it. So thank you, doctors who worked to help us. I really appreciate it.
This is Jennifer Smith speaking. You're talking about rethinking your whole professional goals because of all of the COVID-19 pandemic and the fear and the reality that medical professionals, first responders are very directly exposed to really big things. And I think that you're not alone in that. I think that this pandemic has been an eye-opener for a lot of people. And I think it's going to be something that changes the trajectory of a lot of lives for a while. So I think you're not alone in that. And I don't think you need to have any guilt or shame or anything about kind of rethinking your career. But also we get to acknowledge that it is because of people who are in those professions and putting their own lives on the line that the rest of us are safe and that they are trying to work on creating medications and treatments and vaccines and the ventilators and things like that. So a shout out to all of those first responders and medical professionals.
I just know from personal experience, because my father's a firefighter, and so one of my concerns is that he'll get it, because he's not allowed to work from home, obviously, so he goes in every other day and has to live for 24 hours with 12 other guys, and then also has to go out and do regular things because people are still having fires and medical emergencies, so they're getting in contact with every single person that whoever needs their help is also in contact with. And so for me, just like you said, with the doctors and the first responders and everybody that are literally fighting on the front lines, it's really scary because you don't know how many people are not following the social distancing rules and have been in contact with the people that have it and if they'll get it and if they'll be able to still keep fighting and caring for people.
So I think my concern is very similar to Addie's just because my dad's also a homicide detective. So pretty recently, he's been called out on like cases where there's been a body on the scene and they have had to make sure that, you know, test the people that he's been come in contact with. And it is a little nerve-wracking knowing that Addie's dad, for instance, and my dad doing these very selfless things, but the risk that they're all put in as well. My dad has told me that first responders are being fast-tracked for testing if they need to be, which is makes sense and what should be happening. But even then, it's taking like 7 to 8 days, and that's just very concerning considering you don't even know you have it for a while, which can be kind of scary.
It sounds like both of you have some big concerns about the importance of people following the social distancing rules and being careful because that not only protects us, but it protects your parents, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that speaks volumes to, you know, kind of where you guys are and what you guys are seeing because you want your dads to be safe.
I think Jennifer hit a home run on this one because my biggest concern definitely next to my father going out and treating people that might possibly have the virus would be people not actively participating in social distancing. I saw a meme yesterday and It's like a music meme, but it's kind of funny. It said when a band or when an orchestra plays pianissimo, it only works if everyone does it. Because if one person's playing super, super loud, then it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. And so if one person's going out and then affecting the first responders or the grocery workers and is maybe going to the park to play basketball or playing volleyball or whatever, that one person can make all the difference. I saw a graphic where it was like two people, and then this person didn't go out, and then only spread to this person, and then this person didn't go out. And then it was another graphic where everyone didn't do social distancing, and it was like 20 times more people got it. And I guess I'm more concerned about maybe we need to be doing more things, like putting more things off limits. Our numbers are growing so, so quickly, and it doesn't stop unless we just contain it in our homes.
And I 100% agree with Jonah. I feel like especially teenagers and younger generations, they don't understand what social distancing is, and they don't understand why we're staying home. And it's really a concern of mine also that people don't follow this and they don't really care. And them not caring about this is costing people's lives because it's continuing to spread. It's like a joke among some teenagers that they're just like, whatever, let's go out. But it's causing things to be canceled, and it's causing school to be canceled and other fun things that we've looked forward to. And it's causing all these lives and everything. And it's just something that can't be a joke anymore.
Actually, our next episode we have planned is going to be about people social distancing, what that means to people and things like that. So I think that'll be a good one for our listeners to stay tuned for our next episode. But I think those are all legitimate concerns that we're just spreading it and people are spreading it without even knowing they have it yet. And I think that's, to me, the scariest part of things is you're spreading it before you even know you have got it yourself.
Yeah.
So I did also want to just give you guys a chance to talk about maybe some things that you've heard about the virus that might be concerning to you that we can see if we know if they are true or not or anything like that. So does anybody have anything in mind that they want to talk about, rumors or just kind of, oh, I've heard this about it or that about it?
Well, my best friend, she likes tea. So she said that that could avoid corona. And I was kind of surprised because there's no cure. So I had to research it. Yeah, it turned out to be false. So
yeah, I've heard of something similar to that, like a silver solution or whatever. It was saying it cures the flu and therefore it will cure coronavirus. I deleted social media because there were too many rumors. I just was like, okay, Instagram, Twitter, goodbye. I can go without you. I'll probably get more work done anyways. And that's when I was seeing more of the rumors. And now the only news I watch is CBS Sunday Morning. And it's perfect because it's just all positive stuff. If I hear something about it, then I'll research it. Because all I really need to know right now for my sake is that I need to stay home. But when you read something, read into it. Don't just read one headline from rumors.com or whatever. Look into it, research it, and don't post stuff on social media if you know it's just saw it off of a headline. That just causes more panic and more people start freaking out and doesn't help anyone out.
And Jennifer, you could probably speak to this, but I think that what Jonah said, where he's deleting his social media and not trying to watch a bunch of things, I think that is a big reason why people feel so stressed about this because of all that.
I've been telling people, both students and then teachers, and I also have a private practice. I've been telling everybody, limit it. Limit what you're putting in regarding the coronavirus. So I think you're super wise to limit news intake. I think it's okay, and there's some wisdom in being aware of what's going on around us. But look at it as a need-to-know basis. Jonah is wise in saying, hey, all I need to know is that I need to stay home because that's going to protect my family. So for him, that's enough. For other people who may have to be out and about a little more, you might need a little bit more awareness. But filling our minds with it 24 hours a day, keeping up with every single statistic, it really doesn't do anything for us but cause anxiety to rise. And then you're correct, the social media aspect, tons of rumors, tons of ideas of, well, if you do this, you won't catch it. Or if you do this, it'll cure it. And the reality is those simple cures like drinking tea or taking the silver solution or, you know, those types of things, if those were accurate, if those were true, then the government would have already encouraged us all to do it. And so just trusting our resources, vetting, you know, what we hear through valid sources, but also limiting that intake because everybody's stressed. And so there's no need to add to it any more than we have to.
One of the rumors that of course, was on like social media very early before the shelter in place and the lockdowns that started happening, was that dogs could catch coronavirus and spread it. And that was a really big thing on like social media, that it's been proven to be false, but people were just dropping their pets off and dropping off at shelters and on the side of the road and everything. And it was just something that was blown so out of proportion from social media that it caused so much harm to animals just from it. And so for that, that was just really shocking to me and very disappointing.
One thing I have heard on that note, and I am not going to pretend that I'm a medical professional, so mental health professional, yes, medical, no. But one thing I have heard on that is that if coronavirus is in your home and you pet your dog, it could be on their coat. Kind of like they're saying, like Amazon boxes, when they're delivered, spray them with Lysol. Like, don't spray your dogs with Lysol because that could be bad. But just being aware that if you have COVID in your home, that you don't want to let your dog go to a dog park and somebody else pet your dog. But you're right. Dogs absolutely can't catch it, according to all of the stuff that's coming out. But maybe being cautious and not petting random dogs that you see on the street also. There may be some wisdom in that.
Right.
Or wash your hands if you do.
I think we've had a good discussion so far. So I just kind of want to end with you, Jennifer. And can you just give us and our audience maybe just some general advice on dealing with the stress, maybe because of the change in our lifestyles or because of their nervousness about the virus? What are some things that people can do to kind of help cope with those things?
I think the first thing to be aware of is that our bodies and our brains, our nervous system is going to naturally respond to change. And so some of the anxiety that we're feeling is a very natural human response. Now, there's a very natural, normal human level of anxiety, and then there's anxiety disorders. I'm not talking disorders right now. I'm just talking that basic anxiety that we feel. And our bodies and our brains are wired that way because it serves a purpose. When we're anxious, we're aware of what's going on around us, and so we're going to be more cautious. When all that anxiety goes away and we're not anxious at all, then we forget to wash our hands and we forget to be cautious and careful and all of those things. So it serves a little bit of a purpose, but we also do want to reduce it as much as we can, especially when we're home and we don't really need to feel anxious because we're safe and protected in our homes. So I would say really important to sometimes get off of the social media apps and do some FaceTime calls or some Zoom or some Google Hangout phone calls, just voice calls even. Hearing voices is really important right now, more so than just texting and social media. Doing things that make you feel good and make you feel relaxed. When it's not raining, just go outside for a few minutes away from other people, obviously. But that sunshine and just the fresh air will do wonders for your body and for your spirit, just to keep you calm. Coloring, journaling, any kind of art, really. It's great. Moving your body, getting some exercise, streaming some yoga videos, things like that will do really a lot for you at this point. So the main thing right now is doing what you can to bring your anxiety down. And for everybody, that's a little bit different.
What you said about FaceTime calls and Zooms have definitely helped so much. Just seeing people's faces and talking to them more often. I was supposed to be part of this thing this summer where we like got a tour of the United States the whole summer and it got canceled. And it's been something I've been working for like years. And I finally got to do it this year and everything just got canceled. And so all the people that were involved, we all like had a big FaceTime together. It was like 120 people. I'm just being able to talk to those friends, those people about it and kind of sharing the same interests and, you know, not being able to hug each other and see each other physically, but even like just this is fun. And also, like we used to about getting outside, I've been running every weekday. If someone's running in front of me, I go the long way around and make sure that I'm keeping my distance because I want to do my part as well. But getting outside, like feeling the warmth on your neck,
yes,
feels so nice.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of research that shows that if you get outside for a cumulative 2 hours a week, so even if it's like 30 minutes a day for 4 days or whatever, that your level of anxiety and your mental health will improve exponentially. And that's not just during the COVID-19 thing. That's just in general. There is tremendous value just in being outside and being in nature. It's good for you. So I'm glad that you're running every day. That's awesome.
With all the time as students we have to put in now because it's everything online for all of our classwork, it's just nice to be able not to stare at a screen all day.
Yes.
Do something else than that.
Break it up. Don't sit in front of it for 8 hours. Break it up throughout the day.
Okay, it looks like it's time to wrap it up for today. Again, thank you, Jennifer, for taking time to give us your input. And Addie, Davey, Jonah, we appreciate you letting us in on your thoughts and feelings today as well. Our hope is that our listeners can use this information to understand some of the concerns that our students are having and use it as a guide to talk to your own kids and grandkids. I'm Chandra Tharp, and this has been Student Voices COVID-19 Edition.